This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And welcome to the very first feminist movie Wednesday, as it is being published on a Wednesday. But we are opening up this year with a great throwback of one of my favorites from college. Like, my college roommates and I would quote this. I think I did that to you.
Yes.
While we were watching it together, which is the classic My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And apparently, as Annie and I were talking about this, there has been two more additions to this film line. And it just kind of goes on with the family and what happens with them. It was released in 2002, yes, while I was in college. And of course, that meant that I had some good old memories with this, as my friends and I really loved this movie because it was somewhat wholesome. And if y'all remember, during my college years, I was very caught up in the Christian world. Talked about the fact that I didn't watch TV at all for a long time because, you know, sin. but this was one of those that we allowed in our lives because it was at least less cursing, less sex.
Although sex. You did tell me a funny fact about
yes,
that.
And we will come back to that because this is a ridiculous part of like my life and what we were thinking at that time. Mm-hmm. And I also told you that when I was in school, I was in social work, and in my program, there was a Greek woman. We were all like, I guess, 20s, early 20s. And she talked about the fact that this movie was exactly like her life. And she was like, y'all, if y'all need a testament about how accurate this is, it really is. As a Greek woman, I can tell you it is on the nose, which is not surprising because the writer and creator of this movie, Nia Vardalos, who is the main character, is the writer of this movie. She actually did it as a play for a split second, I think, because she didn't have any backing during that time. And it got picked up by Rita Wilson, who was Greek, loving this play, and her and Tom Hanks, whose own label, Playtone, picked it up and did it as one of their first movies that they produced. So there you go. Part of the movie, if you didn't know that part. Anyway, so let's do a quick recap. We have the main character of Fatula or Tula Portokalis, played by, again, the writer of the movie and creator Nia Vardalos, who is a 30-year-old woman living with her parents and still very single to her Greek parents' dismay, played by Lane Kazan and Michael Constantine. And as she puts it, this is a failing, as nice Greek women are supposed to be, quote, do three things in life: marry Greek boys, make Greek babies, and feed everyone until the day we die. So while her family is large, loud, and proud Greek family who works hard in Chicago, and she does love all of them, But she wants something more. She wants to go to college and do something different than working at the family restaurant and having a lot of babies. And after an awkward interaction with her future love interest, played by Sex and the City alum John Corbett, she had her makeover both physically and mentally. Soon she was taking off those silly glasses. Sarcasm. And putting the contacts in and sitting with the white girls at school who accepted her, unlike her childhood experience, who all made fun of her. She, with her mother and her aunt, come up with this grift, essentially, to get her father to allow her to start working at her aunt's travel agency. Well, because, you know, men are the head of the household and need to be the one to suggest these things or it's offensive. So, obviously, they had to work that out. Soon after she starts working, she meets Ian Miller / John Corbett again, and they are smitten and in love, even though her family is against her marrying a non-Greek man. They finally give in after Ian converts to Greek Orthodoxism and is baptized into the church so they can get married there. Soon after, we have a very large, lavish wedding. They all celebrate being together because the Miller family's name comes from the Greek word apples, as her father likes to say, while their family name, Portokalis, means oranges. So apples and oranges, fruits together, essentially, is what he says. And they live happily ever after, right next to her parents, who have bought them a house as their wedding gift. So that is pretty much the whole entirety of the movie. Very delightful, very easy watch. Annie, I have to ask, because so Annie and I did watch this together, and I was very delighted by the fact that we could do that, because I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be hilarious. Not only do we have old technology from 2002, because Tula gets to go to school to do that specifically, and there was like this whole like print for computer and tourism, and she's jumps on board, and Annie's like bursting out laughing at the whole
it was
advertising.
Word art.
It's so good.
I loved it.
But yeah, so we had all of that. So we got to see it together. So what was your thoughts on the movie?
I really enjoyed it. It was pretty comical in like looking back in it, because it does have a lot of the tropes, you know, that we've talked about, like the kind of movie makeover. We did talk a lot about the religious aspect. It was like, no, I would never do that. And of course, I had to talk about my fan fiction. That is, I have two fan fiction that I've read that I love that are based loosely on this movie. So I was thinking about that. And it was really fun to watch it with you, because you did have all the quotes and you would like do them with as the line came on, which is something I normally do when we watch something together. So that was very fun. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a very, like you said, it was like a easy, enjoyable watch. Like everything right. kind of worked out and it was right. nice.
Exactly. What's so funny? So again, I was in my religious heyday in this. And so watching this was quite funny, because we also understand this whole level of like tradition and weddings and how it means so much for families sometimes. And my roommate and I at the time loved quoting movies at each other. This was one of them that we would quote all the time. We would quote Bride and Prejudice, which is that Bollywood version of Pride and Prejudice. We did that, as well as Bend It Like Beckham, and as well as any of the Christopher Guest mockumentaries. So it includes like Best in Show. I don't know if y'all know any of those, but it's ridiculous. And it's all mockumentaries that are pretty much ad-libs. But anything like that, we would quote. And My Big Fat Greek Wedding was up there, including like the scene where the dad gets upset when she asks to go to college with his, "Why do you want to leave me?" We used to do that to each other all the time. Yeah, so that was a thing that we did. The line, I have to tell you, so I did read a few things about facts behind this movie, yada yada, which there's not a lot, but outside of like, yes, this is actually based on her family. Verdalis actually would write things down that her mom would say to put into the movie. That whole bit about her being the lamb in the kitchen and the tiger in the bedroom was a line that her mother had said to her. She was like, "I vomited a little bit in my mouth, and then I wrote it down." Like, that's her quote to that. And then apparently the bit, because I laughed, because Aunt Vula, who is played by Andrea Martin, who is an icon in herself in most of the roles that she's ever played, she is Maria's sister, but her line about the lump on her back is actually true. Like, her aunt her aunt in real life has this lump on her back that has her twin in it.
Wow. That was pretty intense. I wasn't expecting that, I have to say.
It was so classic. Like, she's like, okay, your family. Let me tell you this family secret. And then being, of course, like, not being white people from America, being like, what is happening? What is happening? Like, they are telling everything and sharing all the things, very, like, homey, and, like, this is tradition, and we're so proud. And then the white people were like, we don't have traditions. This is odd. Like,
also, they got, like, hammered.
They got real hammered. They got real hammered. Like, those scenes actually made me dizzy. I can't watch the scene when they would, like, be, like, spinning. I was like, mm-mm, yeah. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. But, like, also the fact that, you know, she was like, oh, you're Greek. You had a secretary that was, like, and then going through every other, ethnicity, but realizing it's, like, I think she said it ended up being Guatemalan or something. You're like, what the? I understood that bit, by the way. I understood that bit. But having all of that was super fun to see, like, come back to and talk about it. And then, like, it holds pretty true to what I remember. There's nothing on here that was shocking.
Mm-hmm.
I was remembering, like, yeah, it's offensive. Because even then, you're like, come on, all the purpose of us to have children. Of course, like, we know that that's a stereotype with a lot of cultures, even my own, like, my family. But, like, the level of the stereotype was so heightened. But, you know, when it comes to ethnicities and being very proud of your culture, that's that whole different level. A lot of South Korean families are very much like that as well. So I'm like, oh. But, of course, being adopted, I don't know those traditions. But again, there's nothing in there that was, like, really out of, like, the realm of, like, oh my god, this is so badly offensive that I was like, okay. All right, it still holds as a movie that I'm like, you should watch this and also realize how ridiculous it is.
Yeah, it was funny because I've never seen it, but I do remember when it came out because it was very popular. And I think that was at the time when I would watch, like, Entertainment Tonight or whatever. So I, like, knew about it, but for some reason in my mind, I thought it was going to be... This sounds terrible, but it actually probably says something about the time. I thought it was going to be about her losing a lot of weight so she could fit in her wedding dress.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they were going to go to Greece. Like, I had this idea of what it was. And she'd meet this guy, and then so elements of that were there, and like she got rid of her glasses, as you said, and did her hair differently. But it was just funny to me that I don't know where that came from.
I think it does happen later, stuff like that. I did see an article talking about the thinning of, and I don't know who there. I didn't read the article. I just saw the title, so I can't absolutely verify that. But there's that conversation, and they do eventually go to Greece. So you're not off. It's just not this one specific movie.
Man, I got it all mixed up.
It'd be fair.
I also think, like, it was funny to watch because it did have some things that I was, like, I wouldn't say shocked by, but I was like, wow, you're just gonna say that about, like, the gender roles, which I know we'll talk about. But I do think, like, it is true a lot of us have experienced that, maybe not to that extent, maybe not with the cultural level perhaps, but, like, that kind of, what are you doing with your life? Like, get married, go do this. Right. So it was interesting to kind of see the, they just came out and said it. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. They just, I mean, again, she says this is what she heard from her mother. So yeah. She just wrote it all down. So essentially, yeah, no. And then, like, the background, and we're going to talk about that, the mom has of being there during war times and how much they struggled and really wanted to be different for their family, which was, like, a beautiful reminder. Even though it's a very lighthearted movie, it's kind of like there's a lot of history there that we haven't delved into. And I don't know much about the history myself, but, like, having that understanding, they've been through some things, the parents have. But, yeah, let's get into the themes. Because we're probably going to touch on all of that, which includes, of course, family. I think family would be the number one outside of, like, finding your love. But family is the top theme here. And, of course, traditional roles is a big plot to this, which she's trying to break away from, but she still is a part of.
Right. Because if you haven't watched it, it starts with her working at their family's restaurant, yes. And getting these comments all the time, like, you look old, like, what are you doing? Yeah. And then she feels this responsibility to stay there. And that's sort of when the, as you called it, the grift comes in of her being able to convince the father to go learn about the computer and get a different job. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely throughout the movie, we see that as her struggling with, well, my family. Family is so important to me. My family is so big. Like, my family won't approve of you. It's always there of this, like, idea of she doesn't want to hurt her family.
Right.
And how does that work? How do you make that work out?
Right.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And then obviously you have the mom talking to her about how to be a good wife and taking care of everyone, because that's what she does in itself, mm-hmm. even though she understands that. She also says to Tula that, you know, that's my side, that adventure side. You want to see things, you want to learn things. That's my side, you know. So she understands that, but she still plays her role as the matriarch, the mom, in being still very supportive of her daughter. So that was lovely to see as well. Of course, we have that whole, in that traditional roles, is the head of the household comment, which... that is big in Western culture, obviously, when we talked about Christian trauma, Christian-related trauma and religious trauma in itself. That was one of the biggest points of why it has to be structured this way, is the head of the household. So it's not unusual and it's not an unfamiliar topic. Of course, they do, again, make it a comedy by making sure you understand that he thinks he's running things, but in actuality, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very big trope for almost all American sitcoms.
Yeah. Yes. behind every great man, there is a great woman. There's a quote you used to do, right?
No, yeah, there is that quote. What we're talking about, where the girl, I said in our social work class, she would use the line, "Man is the head, but the women are the necks, and turn it whichever the way they please." Like mm-hmm. that's, she would say that. And I don't even know in what reference, but she would say that often. Like, mm-hmm. of course, with social work, we would talk about different cultures and ethnicities and why it's important to, like, understand and, like, abide by that a little bit. But, like, she would say that quote a lot. I don't know why that stands out for me. But, like, my other friend would also say this quote a lot, just as a funny line. Because mm-hmm. obviously none of us were dating any boys at the time, but I don't know. It came out a lot. But, yeah, they use that.
I do like that. I would say the women of Vula's family, like her aunt and her mom, often might like not agree with her, but then they'd listen to her and they'd be like, okay, we'll help you get what you need. Like they were on her side, even if at first they were like, wait, I don't know.
We're confused. And it did take the mother oftentimes to be the one to talk reason to the husband for him to understand or even at least accept the things that she wanted. Mm-hmm. And then, compromising for family. I think I would put religion as a part of that, because we had this whole moment of like, wow, he converted from being, I think he said he was Presbyterian, to being Greek Orthodox, which is a commitment, as we could see on the movie.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't think I'd do that. I don't think I'd do it. Maybe I've never met the right person.
Well, if it's not something that you actually believe, I don't know if that's something that you would want to do. But again, for them, that's more like tradition than anything else for him, and he wanted to respect that, even though it was really disrespectful to the father when they originally met. Like, that whole point of them meeting was so tense, and I was like, I don't know, even though I know he's not wrong, but him being so disrespectful was like, but at the same time, they're 30. He's like mid-30s and she's 30. So it's kind of like, okay, I get it, but
yeah.
Don't talk to her dad like that. That's awkward.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more later, but like, it was sort of implied, there were so many moments in this where Vula would be like, it's just not going to work out, I don't see why, my family, he would say, I don't see why, and she'd be like, my family, like, it's got to be a Greek man, and so he was like, okay, well, I'll do this, I'll convert, because they wanted to get married in the church. It just, I guess to me, that seems like such a big thing. So I get it, but it also was like, wow.
That's a lot. Yeah, yeah. That's a lot, for sure. But with that is the family expectations that we were talking about. Because not only did Tuula have to deal with it herself, because she wasn't expected to go to get an education, he didn't want her to have an education, because what if she does something like, carry drugs for somebody? Which was ridiculous. Like, everybody's like, what? What? But then we do have parents who do, like, go off the deep end about what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. My parents was afraid of what I was going to become, and it kind of happened. So I became a flaming liberal. Oh, no. But, like, that kind of level as well. But also the brother had that deal of the expectations, not necessarily, like, the gender roles, but he loved being an artist. He did this whole sketch, and it was really beautiful for a new menu, and his dad was completely dismissive. And so he was quickly shut down and ran away until Tuula had the courage to do something different, and so he felt the courage, which still did not necessarily, like, so at the end of this comment, like, that the wedding's happening, he decides that he's going to be a painter, and he tells his oldest sister, who has done everything to the T as the parents would expect, even had, like, 4 rowdy boys, all the things. And he was like, I'm going to be a painter. And she's like, great, you can start by painting my fence. Like, that sad level of condescension. So you're like, well, there that is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, his relationship with Tuula was very sweet. He was very protective. This is a common trope, I'm sure, in rom-coms, but definitely in fan fiction, of like the shovel talk, the threats of murder. There was a lot of that going on. Like, if you hurt her, I'll kill you. Yes. Oh, I'm kidding, but I will kill you. Oh, it's a joke.
It was very mob-like.
It was.
Which I was like, I guess Greece and Lee, I guess, are not too far.
Well, I have to say, Ian, in that particular case, went along with them much more. I would have been much angrier when they tricked me to say something that wasn't.
Yeah.
So they do that. Yeah.
They trick him because he's trying to learn a little bit of Greek, because he wants to be part of the family. Very sweet. They try to get him to give him comments, like some phrases, and it ended up being like, I have 3 testicles in Greek. And everybody laughs at him. Like, a few of those happen a few times, but at the same time, you'd think he would learn his lesson. Don't trust the brother-in-law.
Well, then they brought in the other, Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone. Yes, I did forget. Joey Fatone's first, I don't know, it's not the only movie, because I believe he was in the sequels too. He was featured in this. It was quite a delight.
Well, he was also messing with Ian.
Yes. As they should.
Yes.
Well, not as they should, but as expected, rather.
Yeah, but that's how he got tricked the second time.
Yes, he did. But I will say, too, because I don't really mention, we didn't really mention before about the Ian Miller's family, the Miller family, Rodney and Harriet, or as the invitation puts, Rodney and Harry, who is being completely sidelined by the Greek family. Again, that could have been problems, and they are very, like, odd coupling. Like, they don't know what to do with each other. You do obviously get the ideal that the Miller family are a little bit snobbish, very white and well-to-do. They had the expectations that Ian would be a lawyer, but he ended up being a teacher, and they were not too happy. But obviously, he is very independent, so does not care for the opinions of his family. And pretty keeps it pretty succinct in their relationship. It's like, nah, we're good. This is what's happening. Enjoy. It almost gets to the point, though, it does look like he enjoys torturing his parents a little bit by bringing him in. It, like, it wasn't his fault, the gathering, the first family gathering, because it was intended to be the small parents only. And then the Portokalis decided to bring the family, which includes all the cousins. And she has like 30-something cousins and then their family. So they all came through. So not complete, but he was enjoying watching them spiral and being uncomfortable. So it seemed.
Yeah, for sure. And they were just very awkward. They were very quiet. And to their credit, if I had showed up at something I thought was going to be small and then it was this, I probably would have been a little. And that's when they got drunk because they kept being like, have some ouzo, cheers, oompa, oompa. And then they had more and more and more. But then you also pointed out, like, when the wedding actually does happen, you have, like, her side of the aisle packed out, and Ian's side is like the first two rows.
It is a quite difference. Small. Yeah, when he talks about he has two cousins or something, three cousins, and she's like, oh, okay, well, let me tell you. But yeah, but they do finally come in, and they get to be a part of the family, and they start enjoying the festivities, going on the jokes, the fact that he calls her Harry, because it's on the invitation. It's quite cute. And they all are family, quote unquote. So hopefully we see that throughout. But yeah, it was obviously a very difference in the two families and what they look like and how they came together. Oh, other fun fact. The bald dude that plays Ian Miller's best friend, her real life husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I knew that. I found that out a long time ago. I was like, what? Which I found funny. But yeah, but her choice for the male lead was always going to be John Corbett. Like, she always thought of him as the main. But moving on to the gender roles, obviously, is a part of the theme. Yes, women get married, have children, and feed everyone. And that's kind of how they keep it as is the entirety of. Even though, again, yes, Dula does break that a little bit by marrying a non-Greek man, as well as only having one child, I believe, instead of 10 children. I don't know if she has, I don't think she has any more in the sequels. Someone who's seen this, you need to let me know, because I don't want to look it up. But, and then she keeps, you know, telling her, that at the end credit, we see her telling the daughter, yes, you have to go to Greek school, which was one of the big things, like growing up from in Greek school and learning Greek was important. And then her saying, but you can marry whoever you want. I'm like, is that the reward? That's interesting. Okay. But again, it does, they do seem to want to break it, but they don't truly break that role.
Right. I mean, it is still very, like, get married.
Which that's is your goal, to be married.
Odd thing, perhaps, to tell a child, but we all heard it growing up. Yeah, it was just funny watching it, because we were talking about, like, no marriage for us.
Right, we're good.
So it was interesting to watch which a lot of rom-coms are, so it's not unique, but like the focus on the getting married part.
Yes, and that was the entirety of the thing. I will say, in this, of course, you also have the moments with the family where they're complaining. Like, he literally brings his brother-in-law and or sister-in-law and brother-in-law come into the restaurant so they can have a conference about why Dula is not married and what they need to do, because they are going to send her to Greece so she can find a Greek man. And they're like, she doesn't want to go. And the response is, she don't want to go. And then like they go back and forth about that. And they're like, she'll be okay. And they look at her and she's in her quote unquote frump girl era, as she puts it. Because, you know, glasses and sweaters. How dare you? They're like, but you know, the very good news is she'll always be around to take care of you, you know, all these things. And then her brother, Nico, because they're all Nick and Nicholas Nick, every single one of them, quite funny, comes to sit down. He's like, and I'll get married soon, Pops. And he's like, oh, you have plenty of time, and gives him a kiss. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of that level of like, he's only a few years younger than her, but there's right. no expectation for a man because he can have children whenever, essentially. Mm-hmm. So he's fine, you know, be young, go out there, have fun.
Yeah, the family, like, conference thing was interesting. And they, I mean, they say it within earshot of her, to her face often.
She can hear everything.
Yes. I do think it's funny too that this had so many of the, like, you know, her frump era, and then she changes like to look better, to go, like, I told you, like, if you play some horror music behind this, this becomes a stalker movie, because she, like, hears he's a teacher and then decides to go to school. But I thought she was gonna, like, try to take his class, but she didn't do that.
No, he's a high school teacher.
I was like, is she going to? But okay, but then he sees her through the window and gets beat up by an old lady, and then she's very close. Like, it has a lot of those, like, very rom-com-y
yes.
tropes.
Yes. Every bit of them. The, like, yes. oh, the accident. And she's so goofy that she yes. goes to get him a pamphlet and gets strung back by her headset, which yeah. is hooked to her computer. Quite funny. Or mm-hmm. phone, rather. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the cousins. I thought this was a funny take. The cousins, Nikki and Angelo, who is the kids of Aunt Vula. Mm-hmm. coming in, and they're arguing about who's having to do what and who does more work. And, you know, Joey Fatone playing Angelo is like, your hair looks flat today. And she's like, bite me. And then she hits him. Mm-hmm. And then he whines and like, ma. And she's like, oh, my baby, essentially. And then she goes, be a lady to Nikki. And I was like, what? The entire time they're just like fighting, and then she takes up for the young man, which is like, yeah, yeah, I feel like that is very specific to a lot of, I don't think it happened to my family, but I do feel like my youngest brother, who is still a little bit older than me, mm-hmm. got a baby. Like, he was the baby, even to the point that my older siblings called him the baby, because mm-hmm. like, it didn't matter that I existed. He was the baby because he was the youngest boy compared mm-hmm. to me. So I felt that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that kind of, like, pressure for women to be, like, more mature. It was also funny because Nikki was the one who showed up and told Tula, like, we've been seeing you making out. I got back to Mead and then to her and then to her. And now everybody knows.
Right, so,
like,
so
the
know.
Kind of gossiping between family.
Right, right. She's yes. like, they got you. Hello, yes. Mr. Pottery class, which was the lie she gave when she yeah. would go on dates. And then she was also the one that took over the wedding. So, speaking of, I think mm-hmm. the wedding traditions and the wedding in itself was a big theme, because it was the giant climax of the movie, essentially. Right. We have the Yeti dress as she's like, I'm a snow monster at the mm-hmm. end. We have the pimple scene. Of course, you have to have like the pimple scene. But this only accentuated the Windex, which is the father's solution to everything, which mm-hmm. I believe was based on her father. For real, for real. Which I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we have the fact that this, the whole wedding is taken over by family. Her cousin, Nikki, is the one that picked out the dress. Her sister is the one that made the invitations against her will, essentially, and bought mm-hmm. them all. The dress was bought by her, also her family. None of this was her plan. But she went along with it. Mm-hmm. And then the whole, like, women getting her ready, having the conversation. Again, this is where that line of, like, women in the bedrooms, mm-hmm. lambs in the kitchen and tigers in the bedroom came in. And then we have, like, all of the cousins coming in doing the different makeup, the shoes, that whole, like, moment. And then when the wedding happens, the spitting on the bride, which, like, Miller family was like, what the... To be fair, because I don't know about this tradition either, I would have been shocked too. I was like, yes. It mad at her? What's happening?
Mm-hmm. Apparently it was to keep away the devil.
Yeah. Something about like keep away the evil or something. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe. And again, I think like this is very, very Greek. And if we have any Greek listeners, please let us know what types of traditions truly still exist. And if this exists still, and like, because I find that fascinating anyway. Mm-hmm. But I found it interesting. Part of the wedding tradition was also meeting of the families, and we already kind of talked about them sharing secrets with each other. The bundt cake, which was also a line that we love to do. Bundt cake. And then filling the hole with a potted flower. Still one of my favorite moments. I'm like, that's about right.
Yeah, so that, because in my fan fiction, those were the two I remembered that very well, was the cake has a hole in it. They didn't understand this bundt cake. And then the vegetarian scene where Ian it's revealed he's vegetarian. And Tula's family is like.
And Vula is especially upset. Yes. And Vula is like, no meat? Again, she is the, like, the comedic relief in the entirety of the film, honestly. But she's like, no meat? Mm-hmm. No. And she's all, like, obviously trying to figure this out, getting kind of upset. And then you're like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I'll make lamb. It is one of the big tropes. It is very cute.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The whole level of also him being the only child, we don't really see it, but the cousins are actually really shocked and a little bit appalled that he's an only child, because they were like, does he have brothers to be set up?
Right.
And then when she says that, she's like, they're like, what? What? Only child? Again, a part of that of moment. And then I thought it was interesting because of the wedding traditions. It happened when we talked about it with the dating, but like also asking for hand in marriage. I don't know if that happens, but I'm assuming if he was upset about her dating without permission, that he would also need permission. Oh, he does complain about that. He does complain about that.
Yeah.
In which she's in the living room hearing it, and that's when she's like, maybe we shouldn't get married, or maybe we should run away, is because he is loudly complaining, the father is loudly complaining that not only did he date her without permission, he's not asked him for her hand in marriage, has not talked to them at all. And then he's like, you know, I don't know anything about his family. This is not good, essentially. And they're all very upset by what is happening and how modern and somewhat Western this relationship was, American Western relationship it was. So it is interesting to see that as well. And obviously a big theme of something that he has to get past. Poor Costas. He has to get past that.
Yes, the father. Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. My dad did this. He asked my mom's family for permission. When he would tell the story later to me, it sounded strange to me as a kid. And he said he was so scared. Apparently, he like gestured with his hands very like exuberantly. And he got his like hand something from his like clothing stuck in the fan, and it spun around and like caused chaos.
That's a rom-com scene right there. That'd be so, and then it somehow like smacks the dad in the head and he wears a toupee and it flies off. That would be the scene.
Yeah. And then he said like my mom's mom was immediately like, yes, but her dad was like, I don't know about you. And my dad, they are definitely from very different circumstances. She was pretty well off and he was not. I don't know if that was at play, but I just know, like, I always thought he would tell me that, I was like, so you had to ask?
Yeah. I don't think it was strange to me because, again, I was raised in a very Southern traditional home and it just sounded sweet. Like, it sounded romantic. I love my father, my adoptive father, my father, so very, very much. He is someone who and I are, like, psychologically and emotionally similar when it comes to being very analytical, being a romantic without being too romantic type of thing. We have very sentimental ideals about things, and it's hard for us to let go of some of those sentimental things. So, and he's also a very kind man. And like, I couldn't imagine him not approving of who I was with, even if it went against his beliefs. I don't think he could ever say it out loud, and I don't think he would ever push back. I think he would have to rethink some things, but the ideal that he would say, you can't come here, or you're not welcome here, or any of that, seems impossible to me. Again, that's not necessarily true. I could be completely over positive about this, like over more hopeful than I should be, but like, even still, like when he didn't know if I was heterosexual or homosexual, like he kept it kind of loose. Like there was a moment, I think he thought I had a girlfriend, but he still asked me about her. And so I'm like, you know, that makes me think. And he did admit later, he's like, I wasn't for sure, but I didn't want to ask. I was going to wait till you told me type of thing. And she wasn't a girlfriend. She was just a good friend of mine. But like, I wasn't dating anyone. And the only people I was talking about were my close girlfriends. And he was just like, in your, you know, late 20s, early 30s, still single, they get concerned, which is ridiculous, which is a trope in itself, as played in this movie, because she was 30 and single, and they're like, you're old, you need to get married. But yeah, so like, all of those things. But because of that type of man, I would think that it could be sweet that my father would have a relationship with my partner that well, that they would talk about it first. But at the same time, it is really odd to ask permission for me. Like, that's because I think my dad would be like, he would be honored by that. Like, that he would find that, like, yes, this is very nice. But I think he also may end up with, like, if Samantha wants to, you better ask.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the thing is, it can be very sweet. As you're saying, it can be more of a kind of like, they're not going to tell you no.
Right.
But it's like just a nice
gesture. Yeah.
I think for me at least, it can be hard to just, so much of our Western marriage culture is very,
right.
Like basically you're asking for the man, the father for the woman that you can marry as a man. Like, it's just,
it's a transfer of ownership, the original intent, as we know this. And there's this level of, like, there was a bargaining about, like, what can I pay or what can you pay me to take your daughter or what can I pay you to have your daughter? And we know that. So that's definitely a thing. When it became romanticized, it's like, oh.
Right.
That could be sweet. But there's that level. And then, like, I've had, you know, family members whose ex, now ex, did that, and they were like, oh, this is so sweet, and like, oh, that didn't end up very well, did he? No. Yeah. And he had promised to take care of him for you. it's a good in theory in some ways, but yeah, it's also a reminder of, like, I can also understand why this could be offensive for some women. You're like, hell no, he doesn't own me. And we also know, like, a lot of parents are not the best parents. And things happen, and to involve them at all and feel like they have to have some say-so is more offensive. So there's that level. Of course, this is not what's happening here. We know this. But I do think Tula probably also thinks in her mind, I want this to be because I want y'all to be happy.
Yeah.
But it's not something that was necessary for her and meant anything sentimentally to her.
Yeah. And I do think that's a good point you brought up, like, because there's a whole scene where she gets done with the wedding and they're, her and Ian are in the car going to the reception, and she like takes off the makeup and she takes off the veil that her family had put on her. Like, so the wedding was much more for her family. And it was for her as well, but it was much more of like, this is for the family. But then they had that moment of like, I'm going to take some of this off.
Yeah.
And then
she says, do we have to go?
Yeah. But they end up having a great time. But it did, right. It did feel sort of a like, okay, this is more for me now.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to bring up, because one of the most funny, bizarre things you said to me was when Ian asked her to marry him. They had just had sex. And you had a funny anecdote.
So again, this is one of those moments of like, we are in our romantic era in college thinking that I would be someone's wife, have children. I hope that I could have children, because honestly, that was always in the back of my head. Like, that might not be possible for me, as well as the fact that I would be the perfect Christian wife, which is kind of that same layer of being the perfect Greek wife. And then that whole like moment of like, oh, we're going to have the family thing. And yes, I see this and the father being a part of this. But my friend and I, the same one that we would quote these things to each other, laughed and was like, oh my God. So he comes out of nowhere and proposes, you know, it has that ring underneath the bed, which, by the way, is still a whole different thing. I was like, why do you have it underneath the bed?
Yeah.
That's such a weird setup. But like, that was just like the first thing I had thought. But it becomes, I'm like, can you imagine? So this is the friend and I talking. Can you imagine if, like, when your children ask you, oh, tell us how you got engaged, and you have to be like, yeah, so we had sex, and then he just plopped out a ring from under the bed and said, marry me? Love you? Like, that was like the level of like the shame of having to try to hide that. I'm like, oh my God. What the hell was I thinking that this was a problem? Instead of just being like, oh, how cute. They're you know, so intimate and so close, which should be celebrated that they're that close, that they know how much they love each other after such an intimate moment. But in my head, I was like, sex, bad. Oh, my God. 6 out of marriage.
Before marriage.
So bad. Oh, my God. And so, yeah, that was something that's always sticked in my mind after the fact. Now that I'm here, I'm like, I don't even want to get married. Yeah, we're fine. We're good.
So good.
Yeah, so that was something that I thought was hilarious. And I will never, like, it will just be there. It's part of my shame of, like, yeah, I'm glad I've grown up a little bit.
You know, we had those things. I mean, even I was like, wow, he's doing it right now.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. You know, a lot. But that's the thing is, like, there's also this level of expectation and TikTok. Yeah. Oh, it's been quite funny to watch on, like, the videos and the amount of things that people will do and how wild a proposal can get. That right. I'm like, you know, this is one of those things where she's, like, absolutely in that adulthood of, like, yes, I get to get married. I get to be with the person I love for the rest of my life type of moment, instead of being like, what the hell? I'm not even dressed, bro. And you're asking me to marry you?
Yeah, I mean, there's something very nice about it, because it was just like a moment that they shared and they were happy together. And she was very, very happy to say yes. Right. Like, it was like it didn't
so
have that pressure on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a big person who's like, you talk about whoever you're with about it.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like you're ruining the surprise. But I once had a conversation. I think it was three guys and me. And I was saying, like, I don't, this was, you know, I'm not going to get married. But I was like, I would hate a big, extravagant public proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so like, what?
Yeah.
And it was funny to see, because, you know, men, it's not like they escape these tropes and this like socialization either. And they were all like, I thought that's what you're supposed to do. That's what they love. I was like, some people, yes. Other people, no. Other people hate that. You gotta,
right.
You gotta
right.
talk that through.
Your likelihood gonna get from me, just me walking away, because I don't want to be in front of everyone anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you all staring at me. And if, especially the no conversation, no mention of marriage ever. Yes. And then you pop it up the ring, you're like, going on. I've seen several awkward TikTok videos of dudes doing this big elaborate thing, like pop-up dancers everywhere, like flash mobbing, and then doing that, and the girl go, can we talk about this at home? Like, that's
I mean, that's the thing, is a lot of times it kind of feels like a trap if you do this whole thing.
That's that other conversation, that is actually an abusive tactic and a trap. Mm-hmm. Because you want to embarrass them into saying yes.
Yeah, if it's this big public thing and everybody's like, oh,
No. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. It's kind of like the same thing with like some of the big over the top gender reveals. Mm. And then you don't, apparently people who don't get the gender that they want really acting out, and you're like,
oof,
why are you doing this? Yeah, there's so many problems with this in general. But like, yeah, big open gender reveals. Yeah, I might want to think those through.
Yeah. Talk it out.
No. I'll tell you though, you can see a lot of red flags from those big moments.
That's true.
Hopefully you'll read those signs, but dang.
Yeah.
Dang. But yeah, so my big fat Greek wedding. I'm so glad you have finally watched this. During this time, what was so funny is after we streamed this, there was several, you know, suggestions for you, and another movie popped up that I was like, have you never seen this movie? We may have to watch this next year.
I love it. I am having a great time.
I do,
like I said, I understand my fan fiction better now.
Yes, I was going to say, did you go back and read it?
I did. And if this was a different podcast, I would go into some thoughts about it. But I do understand it better now. And it is really, really interesting, because I would say in both of them, because again, there are two that I've read, the big family is like really, really caring. Mm-hmm. And really great. And the small family is borderline abusive, which it wasn't necessarily in this at all. But like, because you and I, think both have hangups about family. Not saying anything, but like the big family doesn't necessarily equal like better to me.
Right.
So it was just sort of like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, my partner's family is a smaller family because they don't have like partners and they don't have children. That's where mm-hmm. my family is a giant family, because not mm-hmm. only do they have partners and children, but those children has children as well. Mm-hmm. And then new partners have come in with their children. So mm-hmm. Yeah, big families are not necessarily better.
But I do think that's what we've been taught in a lot of things.
Especially in families who want to grow their population.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes. I mean, that can look a lot of different ways, but yes.
Right. I'm trying to think about, because like obviously the Greek family, Greek babies, Greek mm-hmm. families get bigger and bigger. You know, that kind of idea of like you extend the line, the family line.
Right. Because it can be a very specific to like if you're super proud of your family,
right.
family name. Families can be like that. But I don't know. It was just interesting to me to read it, because I've had this thought lately about my Star Wars thoughts, where there is, I have seen that a lot. And I'm like, I hadn't realized how big of a trope that is of like the big family. Not even necessarily, because I feel like the found family thing has become really popular lately, but this isn't mm-hmm. even necessarily that.
It's definitely not.
So I'm like, well, in fanfiction, this is definitely not.
Oh, in fanfiction, gotcha.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was just interesting. But I did. I had fun watching it.
Good.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to whatever you're trying to cover some ground of the rom-coms I've missed.
Well,
the
obviously we're coming back to the Twilight saga, so
yes,
you
well,
can't
I'm
run
ready.
Away from that.
That's very funny to me, because technically that was more in my age group.
It is. It's true, but this old elder millennial / Gen Xer, I still enjoy the vampire movie.
Oh hell yeah! I mean, mostly romance. I just missed out on a bunch of those things, but also a bunch of the like 90s classic feminist movies, like Fried Green Tomatoes and League of Their Own and Thelma and Louise. So you're helping me out. I like
we got
it.
This. We got this together.
Yes, we do. We do. Well, I look forward to it. But in the meantime, listeners, if you have any thoughts about this, please let us know. You can email us at stephanieandmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at @StuffIneverToldYou. We have a TeePublic store and we have a book you can get wherever you get your books. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.